Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
Okay, good morning. It looks like everybody's here. Let me just say that the economy in California is looking pretty good. Not as good as it's been, but definitely on the mend. But we still have a $10 billion structural deficit and a wall of debt to come. Our finances were plunged into turmoil by the Great Recession and a decade of short-term fixes and fiscal gimmicks. This is not the time to delay or evade. This is the time to put our finances in order. And that's precisely what this May revision intends to do. Because of the increase in revenue, we're reducing the amount of tax extensions that I'm asking for. We're also adopting some very important tax incentives to spur jobs. And I also propose to pay down a substantial amount of the debt that's been built up. I don't want to continue the games and the gimmicks of the past. The total debt that's been built up by these gimmicks is about $34.7 billion. Later on, I'm going to explain exactly what that consists in, and I'll lay out the whole plan. But let's go to the first slide, and you can see where we are. The budget deficit was $26.6 billion in February. It needed today is still $10.8 billion. So when some people come and say, hey, you got some more money, we're out of the woods. Untrue. We have a serious structural deficit now and into the future unless we cure it. And the May revision has a remedy that will eliminate that deficit, put California's finance on a strong and honest footing. So let me just show you where we are here. $13.4 billion in serious cuts and other solutions. That's probably the biggest set of reductions that we've ever seen around here that's real. As you remember, well, you'll get to it a little later on. You'll see where before it was just gimmicks. $6.6 billion will be the two-year increase in new revenues. That's part in the current year, part in the next year. Now, what the year after that, one doesn't know. The budgets, as you look back over 10 years, are more often wrong than they're right. Higher spending, $2.2 billion. Part of that, most of it, is Proposition 98. It captures the increased revenue and redirects it to schools, which means it's not available for the other 60% of the budget, which involves higher education, public safety, and all the rest. There's also some higher spending in the mental health department and in the corrections that represented unrealistic future cuts that the last administration proposed but were not able to realize. The Prop 10 litigation is now in court. That's going to be held up. It could well go beyond the budget year, so we're not going to count that. The remaining deficit, 9.6, put in 1.2 reserve, which is, I think, prudent, and there's where you have it. Let's take the next slide and give it more graphic. We started with 26.6. You see approximately $20 billion over the next 3 years. We've got half the job done, but we're still looking at essentially a $10 billion structural deficit, and that's what we want to deal with. Let's take the next slide. This assumes the extension of the taxes, okay? Assuming that the legislature and the voters approve, we get the tax extensions that I'm asking for, still the spending goes all the way back here to the time of Governor Reagan. So spending in relationship to per capita income is definitely one of the lowest points in four decades. Now, let me give you just some key changes to the May revision. That's the next slide. The revenue gain is 6.6. I know you're going to focus on that, but we've taken almost half of it and reduce the tax package. That's in $5 billion. If we don't get to abolish redevelopment, that adds another $1.7 billion, and that takes us eats up the $6.6 billion and more. So that's the May revision. Now, what's the goal here? What are we trying to achieve? Let's go to the next slide. We want to eliminate 43 boards and commissions. There'll be more to come, but we lay out in the materials that I gave you the elimination of those boards. We cut out 5,500 state positions, and we dropped general fund spending back to 72-73. And maybe bring back slide 3, because I just like to emphasize where we were here. Yeah, slide 3. So we're back to 72. That's where we are. So when people say we're spending too much money, we're relative to the wealth, this is where we are. I might say, by the way, for those critics of California who say California is a failed state, people are all moving to Texas, the fact is this year the increase in our collective personal income will be $75 billion. And if you divide that by the number of people, it's about $2,000 per person. And we'll get the same amount next year. So any state that can generate $4,000 per person is a very powerful state indeed. That's why we are the eighth or ninth largest political entity in the world. Let's go now to slide 6. Next thing we do, besides cut, we want to restore education spending. We go to 52.4. That's about $3 billion more than I expected in January. But go back there to 2007, 2008, when we were riding the big mortgage bubble. Schools were getting a lot more money. And we haven't reached, it's going to take us a number of years to get there. But this is a very solid result for repairing our schools. Let's go to the next slide. We also now want to deal with the real economy. So I change the enterprise zones, or I propose to give enterprise zone credits to new jobs only. There are consultants that go tell businesses that have already hired people maybe a year before that you can get a tax credit from the state. So the tax credit did not provide any stimulus, but merely paid people for doing what they're already going to do. So we want to modify the enterprise zone proposal and focus it on new jobs, and we think if we do that, that will encourage new jobs. It will also recapture about $130 million of what would have been almost a $1 billion tax elimination. Encourage investments in California through mandatory single sales. That, again, was a tax break that I want to eliminate. The in-state businesses have to pay a single sales according to a mandatory formula. Other out-of-state located companies can pick their own. It's unfair. It's a competitive disadvantage to California companies. And we think if we restrict the single sales tax incentive or tax methodology to those who create jobs in California, it will stimulate jobs. Then third, we take some of the savings from the single sales tax credit, because it is a $1 billion saving, and we plow it into eliminating a certain amount of the sales tax on equipment purchases. This is something that manufacturers have long wanted, and we put that in as a spur to manufacturing jobs. And then finally, there's a hiring tax credit, which is different than the enterprise zone. It's not really been very effective, and we change it by increasing eligibility in a way that will make it more usable, and therefore we think will stimulate more jobs. All right, next slide, please. This is just to remind everybody of what the previous approach to budgeting was. That's what we mean by smoke and mirrors and gimmicks. There was lots of talk about a $60 billion budget cut. 84% of it was one time or illusory. It didn't really come to be. So that's the kind of gimmickry that then builds up financial obligations. Because when I say gimmick, it's a form of borrowing from the future. and you keep piling that up, and you weaken our finances. You take money away from solid programs because you don't face the music. All right, let's take the next slide. When I say the gimmicks, what are they? Well, we're deferring payments to schools. We say we owe them the money, but we pay them a year late. And that's about $10 billion. The economic recovery bond was celebrated as some great tearing up of credit cards. It was just a longer-term credit card. It was borrowing. We still owe $7 billion on that, and we got to pay it. Loans from special funds, we got to pay them back. We take from funds that legally are for one purpose, and we throw them into the general fund. You got to pay them back. Unpaid cost to local government, schools, and community colleges for state mandates, 4.3. You got to pay them. We've been delaying them, but we owe the money. Underfunding of Prop 98, that's about $3 billion. And then borrowing from local government 1A, we owe 1.9 there. Deferred Medi-Cal cost, payroll, delaying the payroll for June. Deferred payments to CalPERS, which we got a little holiday there. And then borrowing from the transportation fund. That's 34.7. That's what I call part of the wall of debt. Go to the next slide, you'll see the wall of debt. The 48.2 over here, that is what the total debt will be if we issue the general obligation bonds and the lease purchase bonds that are already authorized. There's 48.2 sitting out there. Then the bonds sold, of course, they're already sold, and we're paying interest on that. Let's go to the next slide. This is another aspect of debt. This is what we're someday going to have to pay every year. Interest on the unemployment insurance debt. That's $500 million this year and every year into the future because we have this gigantic unemployment insurance debt. We borrow from the federal government $10 billion. So now they're telling us we got to start paying interest, not paying down the principal, just interest. That's a half a billion. When we issue that debt that I showed you on the last slide, that $48 billion in general obligation and lease, that's going to cost us $3.2 billion out of the general fund to service that new debt that we are authorized and will eventually issue. The 9.9 is the Proposition 98 maintenance factor, and what that means is we are obligated to increase on a yearly basis by $9.9 billion the money the state has to pay to local schools. We don't do that, you know, immediately. We're going to do it in stages. But that is a real obligation that over time the state has to deal with. So when I say there's a wall of debt out there, yes, we've got some more revenue, but we have a lot of obligations. And I don't want to have California in the position that we see in Washington, where they're up against the debt limit. You have the Republicans who want to maintain massive tax cuts for the richest people. You have Democrats who won't face the music and cut back entitlements. The truth is, both have to get out of their comfort zone and come together to create a balanced spending program for America. Here in California, we actually have a balanced spending proposal. We've already taken half of it and put it into law, which is amazing, but we got another $10 billion or so to go. Let me just put up the last slide here. That debt, I've just rounded off 34.7, which comes from the gimmicks of the last decade. By my plan, by the time we get to 2014, we're going to pay it down to $6 billion. If you adopt the Republican deficit, that 35 will go up. It'll go up because they have a deficit this year. They leave. It's probably $8 or $9 billion. Next year, you'll carry it forward. We'll have a $20 billion deficit next year. So that debt doesn't go away. This is a program that's honest, is all laid out there, and I think it makes a lot of sense for California, and I'd like our state to maybe send a message back to Washington. Yes, you have to cut, and you have to be willing to pay the tax revenues and run a reasonable an efficient government. That's the proposal on the May revise, and I'll be glad to take any questions that you have.
The realignment.
Yes, crucial. The realignment saves money, and it does something about the 70% recidivism rate. And I think it will do. It makes a lot of sense.
So you would redirect some of this considerable amount of the additional revenue into the realignment program, right?
Well, most of it's going to 98. If you go back and where it...
But even some of the realignment income taxes go into the schools, right?
Right. Some of that will. But well, main thing on realignment, I want to make sure that we fund the... when we move state inmates to the local level, we want to make sure we have enough money to handle that.
The reason I ask that question is that you were, I won't say bragging, but pointing out that the level of state spending as a result of, as a percentage of personal income would be falling to 72. But isn't that a little bit disingenuous? If money is being sent around the general fund into local governments and schools, that's not counted in that, is it not?
That's probably, I would say, well, let me see here. Anna, do you want to?
If you look at,
well, wait, you know, this thing is going to go up and down, okay? That's true. And the economy is pretty depressed. So that's why it drives down. As the economy gets better, that'll come up. But it is a measure that we're not way out of line here. But maybe you can explain it better.